Greetings, saints. Many blessings to you. Thank you for joining us today for the Unleavened Bread Bible Study. And Father, we thank you for giving us wisdom in these days and discernment to know the difference between the true and the false. Lord, give us a love for the truth that will guard us and deliver us from evils to come. Thank you so much, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, all right. I'm going to share with you a revelation here. Speaks about the followers of the false Jesus / man-child are reprobated. And this was given to Claire Pinar on April the 25th of this 2020. And it's very interesting. And she starts out, I, and she puts in parentheses, representing the bride, for my name, Claire, means brilliant or clear or bright, was on a large white ship with my husband, the bridegroom. Rion's name means little king, meaning man-child. With my three blonde children, I believe it was representing righteous fruit, and I had a small handbag. We were gathered near the stern, although there was no stern. I think the meaning of this was that only supernaturally by God's hand did the water not come into the ark, or the ship in this case. She said the little handbag was dangling precariously on the edge of the ship's rails. It had very few things in it, but I kept pulling it closer to me, and it kept slipping away, a warning, I believe, for the bride that we must let go of our emotional past baggage. Amen. But it being a small bag probably represents there's very little left to be done, wouldn't you think? Okay, and Claire went on to say, the sky was navy blue with an electric storm. And she put in parentheses, meaning pending judgment. And the waves were ridiculously high. Well, I tell you, if you look out there in the world, there's threats of world war. There's threats of, pandemic. There is threats of the deep state releasing more pandemic. It's wavy out there. And then she said she knew that the waves were 55 kilometers, 34.1 miles high. Well, I think this was very symbolic. According to the law of first mention, the number 34 in the Bible is given in Genesis 11:16. And Eber lived 430 years and begat Peleg. And it was in Peleg's days, that the earth was divided by the flood. And, of course, here we see a flood around a ship, right? And the flood in which Noah's house was saved in the ark. And all the others were not, right? Peleg means a division of water. Isn't that interesting? And this reminds us of the faction being separated by the water of the word from the righteous in the ark. And the rest of this story pretty well tells that, but I'm going to continue with the Peleg here for a moment. Genesis 10 and 25 says, unto Eber were born two sons, and the name of one was Peleg, For in his days was the earth divided. Yes, it was divided by the waters of the flood. And his brother's name was Joktan. And Genesis 10 and 32, a little bit further down, these are the families of the sons of Noah after their generation in their nations, and of these were the nations divided in the earth after the flood. So you see, there is a division happening. Peleg represents this division, a division by water. And a flood of destruction is happening, and the righteous will remain in the ark of Jesus as the rest are destroyed in the flood, as the rest of this dream speaks of. So this dream, really, these things that happened in the beginning of this dream are very prophetic of the rest of the dream. This is the great falling away that comes before the Lord comes, as in 2 Thessalonians 2, where it speaks of the son of perdition who is hidden in the body like Judas was. And he's revealed by the falling away. When Judas fell away, everybody knew who he was. Before that, they were questioning, you know. So 2 Thessalonians 2, 1 says, "Now we beseech you, brethren, touching the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." We know that he's coming in the man-child, so this could be symbolically of this. "And are gathering together unto him." Okay, then you go down to verse 3. "Let no man beguile you in any wise, for it will not be," that is, the, "our gathering together unto him will not be, except the falling away come first, and the man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition." We are seeing that, and we've been seeing this for a while. "He that opposes and exalts himself against all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he sitteth in the temple of God." And the word temple here is the word that Paul used for the temple of the people of God. So he sits among the people of God, setting himself forth as God. Yes, because they judge everything which only God is given to do. This is a terrible sin upon them, and God is ridding the church of this. This plague. The storm was very scary, but we were not scared. The waters were indeed super rough, but the ship seemed protected. In fact, I think it was raining from above, from the really dark blue stormy sky, but only ever so lightly, like a very light drizzle. And I believe that this is talking about the rain of the Holy Spirit, which we know is going to be very strong after the judgment of the Northern Army. But at this time, it's a lot less. The water wasn't coming in the ship, not even the foam from the waves crashing against it. It seems the same as the ark in Noah's day. Now, she put this note here before I mentioned all this about Noah's time and the revelation of what this 34 is. It was protected in the great storm. Pretty good confirmation, I would say. We were protected on the white ship, representing the holy vessel, Jesus. Some think that they have a free pass. Well, yeah, lots of religious people think that, you know, because of something that they did, you know, of accepting Jesus as their Savior or becoming a member of a certain church or whatever. They think that they've got a free pass. But you see, God is separating the wheat from the tares. They both grew together until the harvest, if you remember. And the tares are those that don't bear fruit of Jesus, the Jesus of the Bible. And of course, the man child is the first fruits of them that bear the fullness of the Jesus of the Bible fruit. And there's a fake man child out there, as this goes on to say, and we've talked about before. We've received revelations of it before. So she says some think that they have a free pass, but they'll get dropped off in Babylon like the false bride in this dream. This is true. This is true. The false bride and the man child get dropped off in Babylon in this dream. They get separated from the ark. There was another group at the helm of the ship that looked like a family. And then she has in parenthesis, things are not always as they seem. The enemy disguises himself as an angel of light, as in 2 Corinthians 11 and 14. She says, I saw the woman, a blonde lady, who wasn't really blonde. I could see that she had dark regrowth, especially around her ears. Well, hair, as you know, is a sign of submission to our husband in 1 Corinthians 11. Blonde hair represents, as he's shown us, submission to the sun, S-U-N/S-O-N, as a type of the sun, who is our spiritual husband. But this is a fake blonde hair. Her real submission is to darkness, the color of those roots, right? This means, Claire went on to say, this means she pretending to be obedient, but hidden self works are indicated. She does not hearken to the real Jesus. She doesn't hear the real Jesus. And as you all know, this represents so many who believe that they are the bride and at the helm of the ship as this speaks, but they submit to another Jesus. 2 Corinthians 11 and 3 says, but I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve in his craftiness, your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity and the purity that is toward Christ. You know, we have to come to him as a child, don't we? Just believing everything that he says, humbling ourselves to what he says. For if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, you can tell when people believe in another Jesus because they act as though they're righteous when they're totally disobeying the word, which is the true Jesus, whom we did not preach, or if you receive a different spirit, which you did not receive, or a different gospel, which you did not accept, you do well to bear with him. Yes, they do bear with someone that comes along who speaks for himself and not for God and not in obedience to God and not in obedience to his word. False leaderships are many. Claire went on to say this lady was with pregnant belly about 20 to 24 weeks along, which means that the fruit was viable to survive on the outside. And she had two other children with dark hair. And my thought was meaning that she had the fruit of darkness because she wasn't receiving the seed of the true word or Jesus. She had a husband who looked like Justin Trudeau, the head of the Northern Army, you know, a false worldly man-child who is attractive to so many, she says. And I put a note here about some of the revelations we had about the true and the false man-child and a link so that you can go and read that from years ago. Her name was Leah. Ah, Leah is the ancient biblical Greek spelling of Leah, a name born from the Hebrew Bible and Old Testament as the elder sister of Rachel and the first wife of Jacob in Genesis 29:1-30. Her name means languid or relaxed in Hebrew. Well, we know that Leah was not beloved of her husband, Jacob. He was tricked into her. her seed opposed the persecuted, the son of the beloved bride, Rachel, who was Joseph. That's right. You remember how the seed of Leah persecuted Joseph, and they hated him. And they sold him into bondage. But he ended up being the man-child who preserved the people through the 7 years of famine. So now you get an idea who Leah is here, who she represents, and her children. Another text that seems to fit this scenario is Galatians 4:26-30. But the Jerusalem that is above is free, which is our mother. Yes, we need to be born from above, from Jerusalem. Jerusalem, of course, was the capital city, the leadership of God's people, where the man-child dwelt. The bride was Jerusalem. And this was the true leadership of God's people. And, of course, we're seeing much other kinds of leadership out there. Verse 27 goes on to say, For it is written, Rejoice, thou barren that bearest not. Break forth and cry, thou that travailest not. For more are the children of the desolate than of her that hath the husband. Well, you know, Rachel was desolate. But she brought forth the first fruits man-child. She brought forth the fruit of Jesus Christ. And that's why Leah's children persecuted him and sold him into bondage, much like they did Jesus. You know. Going on, verse 28, Now we, brethren, as Isaac was, are children of promise. But as then he that was born after the flesh persecuted him that was born after the spirit, so also it is now. Howbeit, what saith the scripture? Cast out the handmaid and her son, for the son of the handmaid shall not inherit with the son of the free woman. And the rest of this dream is all about that, the casting out of this handmaid. One who didn't submit to the true husband, Jesus, in the man-child. Claire went on to say, The blonde lady's parents were there too. They had silver hair and were from Canada, the north. The north, of course, is where the beast came from that persecuted God's people and conquered God's people and attempted to always bring them into submission. You know, the kings of the north, right? I saw that they had ginger hair when they were younger. I think I had a vision of this in my dream. Canada, she says, Canada might be alluding to the kingdoms of the north. Yes, true. That Ezekiel prophesied against. And of course, as we know, many of the beasts that ruled over Israel when they fell into apostasy came from the north. We got to the port, she said, which looked like a shopping center. That's a negative thing, isn't it? In all of our dreams, these shopping centers are like a place of the merchants or ministers of Babylon, with their buying and selling the gospel. It said, they make merchandise of you. They want to number you and make sure you bring your tithes and how many people we got and all this, you know. But, you know, Jesus said to his ministers, freely you have received, freely give. That way they had to walk by faith. They had to walk in obedience to the Lord, too, because he won't cooperate if you're in rebellion. That's why these other ministers start charging you the tithe, which is an Old Testament thing, as Jesus said. He left undone the weightier matters of the law. He called tithing of the law, which it was. And so it is today. The Lord still commands his ministers to give freely what they have been freely given, to charge nobody. In fact, if you're going out there and buying and selling with these people, you're probably not getting the truth. As exactly what Isaiah 55, 1 through 3 says, ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, that is of the word, and he that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat. So how do they buy if they don't have any money? Because you have to buy with your life. If you lose your life, you will gain your life. The word is your new life. People are not willing to give up their old life so they don't get to know the new life or know the true waters of the word. So he said, he that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat. Yea, come, buy wine and milk. Without money and without price. This is what the Lord is inviting us to do. If they're charging you, they're not people of faith. Okay? And if they're not people of faith, God didn't send them. Wherefore do you spend money for that which is not bread? Yeah, that's you see there, what you get when you have are charged for it and want to buy it. And your labor for that which satisfieth not. Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good. Let your soul delight itself in fatness. Incline your ear, and come unto me. Hear, and your soul shall live, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you. Well, you know the new covenant is called an everlasting covenant, but so many break it that they're not receiving the benefits of it. And I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. And then she says, Rion and I held hands throughout our walking around the shopping center. The bride and groom are united in love for each other, in a footnote. Yep, and you can see that her love is proven by her obedience, as Jesus said. If you love me, keep my commandments. And so it's not important that you keep a church or a religion's commandments. It's important that you keep Jesus' commandments, because that's the seed in your heart that manifests Jesus, who is the fruit, as in the parable of the sower. We were looking for real food, which is hard to find among all the buying and selling of Babylon, right? We saw the old silver-haired couple walk past us, and we asked them how Leah was. And they said she had an abortion. So she killed her fruit, submitting to another Jesus, as we're going to see more of here. I was completely shocked and disgusted, but also tremendously sad, as I had seen how lovingly she had rubbed her belly, reassuring the unborn child during the storm. You know, there are people that start out loving Jesus and loving his fruit in them, But in the parable of the sower, three out of four fell away. And it's the same today. This represents a great falling away, this abortion here. Then I found Leah and embraced her and asked her why she felt abortion was the only option. She replied and said that the man she was with did not want to marry her. Well, you know, the hireling leaves the flock when the storm comes because the sheep are not his, right? As in when the wolf comes, right? The sheep are not his. I replied that I thought they were already married, and she said, no, those are not his children. Okay, so what do we gain from this? That the apostates have many lovers, but no husband, right? That's right. Many lovers. And they got fruit from all of them, but they have no husband. I asked her if she was remorseful for what she had done, and she was double-minded. She said, yes, and then she followed with, but I don't want any part of him if he doesn't want to marry me. I invited my parents along on the boat trip so that we could have a wedding here before the baby comes, but he did not want to. So her fruit was of fornication, right? You know, the lukewarm and the fruitless will be spewed out of the body of Jesus because they seek another Jesus. Revelation 3:15 through 18 says, I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So because thou art lukewarm and neither hot nor cold, I will spew thee out of my mouth. This is what the Lord spoke to me one time when I read this, that they will be spewed out of the body of Christ. Some people say that's not possible. They haven't read the scriptures either, have they? Because thou sayest, I am rich and have gotten riches and have need of nothing. Much of the church believes they've stepped over the threshold and they've, you know, they're a shoe-in, you know. They think that. They don't have to obey. They're even taught that they don't have to obey. Don't worry, God will forgive you. But that's called willful disobedience, for which there is no sacrifice, Hebrews 10:26 says. Have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art the wretched one, and miserable, and poor, and blind, and naked. Oh my gosh, how many people are deceived in this way? They take their affirmation from their preacher or from the religion that they go through or whatever. That's where they get their affirmation. Not that they're in right standing with the Word of God. I counsel thee to buy of me gold refined by fire. They don't want to go in the fire. They refuse the fire. That thou mayest become rich in white garments, which is your righteous acts of the saints, right? That thou mayest clothe thyself, that the shame of thy nakedness be not made manifest. Look, if you don't have righteous works, you're not righteous. It's very, very simple. Because Christ in the person is manifest in righteous works. I'm not talking about works that you do in order to be saved. I'm talking about the works that come from Christ. By grace have you been saved through faith, and that's not of yourself. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For in Christ Jesus, that is in Jesus, were we created for good works. If you are in Christ Jesus, you will have good works. But you're not seeking to be saved by your good works. You're saved by the sacrifice of Jesus, right? There's a difference between our works and God's works through us. If Jesus is in you, God will do his works through you. Amen. Well, so he didn't want to marry her. He was a wolf. He was a hireling who ran off. Then her physical appearance changed before my eyes after this abortion of the only fruit that she had. Her physical appearance changed before my eyes. Her stomach became flat. In other words, no fruit. And she looked more like a teenager than a fully grown woman. So she lost what maturity she had. I have seen this happen to many people in this falling away that this is talking about. Because they judge their brothers and are critical of their brothers and steal from their brothers and mistreat their brethren like Joseph's brothers did. God gave them a spirit, literally we call stupid spirit, because they have no conscience of the Word of God, and they fall away from the Word of God, they have no maturity left, etc. She had earphones in her ears, kind of hard to hear that way. She was wearing one of those spaghetti strap tops, so iconic with teenagers, and she was chewing gum while she waited for other young girls at a smoothie bar to get her smoothie. So they turned back in their hearts to Egypt, not satisfied with the manna from heaven. And Claire said, I think this shows that those who are in bondage to false teachings and their false Jesus will throw out the baby with the bathwater rather than look for a proper father or teacher. They will then become reprobate, deaf to the counsel of the wise, chewing on the fake food that does not fill them. That's the gum, right? And they'll seek easy to swallow gospel, the smoothies that take no effort to digest. Amen. Rian and I walked back onto the white ship and waited while this false bride and her false fruit remained in Babylon, and her false man-child remained in Babylon. God is sanctifying the bride through faction as they fall away. Yes. And this is happening. Okay. Very interesting revelation here. Here are two things I am pressed to share. This thing was given at a time when a parable in the natural had happened, okay? She said, in our own little fellowship in Rosebery, we grew to a meager four couples. One couple has fallen away and refused to listen to David's teaching. They did not finish the real good news with us, and will not listen to God's vaccine at all. Well, I got to tell you that those teachings are just full of the Bible. It's not me that they're ignoring. It's the word of the Lord. They were the ones who badgered us for months to start a meeting. Now they're watching YouTube videos and listening to apostate teachings. They can't hear the truth. They don't have ears for the Word of God. Maybe they were raised up in some traditional church which makes of no effect the Word of God, just like the early disciples were. They came out from among them because they realized that they had no food to give. And Jesus was feeding them very well. The man-child was feeding them very well. And they enjoyed this fruit that was coming in their lives. And Claire said, this dream points to the factious among us who've been in the boat with us until this point, being dropped off in Babylon to become reprobate. It's heartbreaking, but it's necessary. Why is it necessary? It's necessary to sanctify the real bride. They might weather the storm with us, but they will be plucked up eventually. And she gave Matthew 13:24-30. Another parable set he before them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is likened to a man that sowed good seed in his field. And that's true. We've sowed good seed in the field, which is the world. But this seed does make separations, like it did between Joseph and his brethren. So it goes on to say, but while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares also among the wheat and went away. And as you know, tares bear a little insignificant fruit compared to the wheat. And they don't look like the wheat when they grow up. And they don't look like Jesus when they grow up either. But when the blade sprang up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. Yep, you know what makes the tares show up? The righteous bearing fruit around them. They can't stand the fire. They won't go through the fire. They're convicted by the word, the people around them, and the word and the rules that they obey from the scriptures around them. They can't obey the rules. They cannot obey because they do not love Jesus. If you love me, you will keep my commandment. And the servants of the householder came and said unto him, sir, didst not thou sow good seed in thy field? Whence then hath it tares? And he said unto them, an enemy hath done this. And the servants say unto him, wilt thou then that we go and gather them up? But he saith, nay, lest haply while you gather up the tares, you root up the wheat with them. Yep, you know, if you pull up the tares, you're going to be pulling up wheat roots too. Let both grow together until the harvest, which has happened. They grow together. And in the time of the harvest, I will say to the reapers, gather up first the tares and bind them in bundles to burn them. But gather the wheat into my barn. Okay. You know, there's an advantage of wheat growing up around the tares, because you see real life parables in real time around you of what happens to people when they turn away from the Word of God and they get puffed up and begin to take positions that are not theirs, ordaining themselves to the ministry while they tear down real ministry. Yep, they begin to show up, and the Lord forces that because it's time to sanctify the wheat, sanctify the bride. The bride and the bridegroom returned to the white boat, the righteous vessel. And we waited on the captain, that is the Lord, for further direction. Okay, but now the reprobates have been kicked off the boat by their own actions. I asked the Lord for a verse by faith at random and received Joel 2:16-17. Gather the people, consecrate the assembly. Amen. Bring together the elders and gather the children, those nursing at the breast. Let the bridegroom leave his room and the bride her chamber. Let the priests who minister before the Lord weep between the portico and the altar. Let them say, spare your people, O Lord. Do not make your inheritance an object of scorn, a byword among the nations. Why should they say among the peoples, where is their God? And of course, this was the bride watching the approach of the northern army, as we've seen, above. And the northern army was coming to attack the bride. And, of course, God smote the northern army. And he left behind a blessing. So here we are at the place of the Red Sea, of Sennacherib's scenario, of Jehoshaphat's war coming against him, etc., etc. And they all lose. The beast loses. Their attempt to destroy Jerusalem with the man-child fails because God destroys them. And then, after this text, it went on to speak of, Joel went on to speak of the northern army being destroyed by God as revival and restoration of all that the army stole from them, from the faithful. And so it shall be. God's going to restore everything that this crucifying army stole from the righteous. And also, here's another revelation that we got back in 2011, which was a time of the exact same thing that's going on now. Very interesting. This was Eve Brass, 10-19, 2011. And the notes that I have here were written back in 2011. She said, I had a dream of a true man-child and then a false man-child deception. Some brethren and I were giving a shower for the woman and the man-child who had just been born. They both had blonde hair, real blonde hair, which means submitted to the sun, S-U-N/S-O-N. And the man-child had a white cloth diaper with a silver-colored diaper pin, dressed in righteousness, we put. The woman picked him up from a cradle that was in front of her and helped him, held him to her heart with a white cloth covering over him. Many brethren were standing around her and kneeling to, I would say, Jesus in the man-child. They were kneeling, in her text, kneeling to the man-child, but of course it's Jesus in the man-child, right? But they were dressed like shepherds. So, an angel also appeared at the literal time and sent some of the shepherds or pastors, same word, of the flocks to greet the man-child and the woman in Luke 2, 8 through 20. Yeah, so I suspect the same thing. They were all in the dining room, and there was a white birthday cake with white frosting. The other brethren and I were in the living room setting up tables and chairs, but we were dressed in modern clothes and were put in charge of giving the shower. Well, the real man-child had just been born at the time of the enrollment by Caesar in Luke 2, 1 through 7, but was not anointed nor doing any of the works because the anointing hadn't come yet. A false man-child came at that time of the enrollment when Jesus was first born and was doing deceptive works. And I'll share that with you in a minute. That's Acts 5, 36, and 37. But for now, also after Jesus the man-child was anointed, he said of the false shepherds, John 10, 1, and 12, 1 through 12, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the fold of the sheep, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. And who is the door? Jesus. They came by Jesus. They came by the word of God, right? To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice. And he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. He leadeth them out of the apostate sheepfold. And when he hath put forth all of his own, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. A stranger will they not follow. So who follows these strangers? The wicked, the tares. They can hear the voice of the stranger. A stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. They know the voice of the Word of God. They are attuned to the Word of God. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things that they were which he spake unto them. Jesus therefore said unto them again, Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and go out, and shall find pasture. You know, Jesus appeared to me several times and ordained me to do what I'm doing, but he didn't appear to these people. The thief cometh not, but that he may steal, yep, kill, yep, and destroy. I came that they might have life, and may have it abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd layeth down his life for the sheep. He that is a hireling and not a shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, beholdeth the wolf coming and leaveth the sheep and fleeth, and the wolf snatcheth them and scattereth them. Then she said, Suddenly a flat screen TV came on near the door, and there was a children's commercial advertising man-child dolls, along with all the fancy accessories. I saw a bunch of little girls, mostly these represent the little denominational groups, you know, mostly with blonde hair, but some with brown hair, carrying man-child dolls around, cradled in their left arms. Then I saw the dolls begin to glitch with a repetitive glitch, and realized that not only were the dolls false man-childs, but they were also holograms and didn't even exist. The girls' arms were empty, but they believed that they were holding something. They believed they had a hold of the man-child, Jesus, right? The commercial advertising of the false man-child indicates that the Babylonish false spirit pushing these apostate leaders. The repetitive glitch in dolls indicates a faulty, man-made, manufactured, fake, and holograms symbolize that there is no fruit of Christ in you there. And when Moses, the man-child, rose up, Jannes and Jambres were there doing lying signs and wonders, but they could not compete with the power of God. Now, we're coming to that text I was talking about the false man-child that rose up at the time of Jesus, right? I thought in the dream I must warn David, and I woke up thinking the same thing. And I asked the Father for scripture for this dream, and my finger was on, this is by faith at random, look, Acts 5:36 and 37. For before these days rose up Thaddeus, giving himself out to be somebody. That's what they do. They always do that. They take titles and so on and so forth. To whom a number of men, about 400, joined themselves, who was slain, and all as many as obeyed him were dispersed and came to naught. After this man rose up Judas of Galilee in the days of the enrollment, and drew away some of the people after him. He also perished, and all, as many as obeyed him, were scattered abroad. Huh. Okay, so the false man-child will begin to work around the time of the enrollment or the birth of the real man-child, who has yet to do any work because he is too young and not yet received the anointing. We do, you know, the brethren who are the Davids do signs and wonders, but it's nothing like what is coming with the latter rain, right? that anointing comes, it's going to be some kind of powerful. The false man-child leadership will eventually die spiritually and in some cases physically for their evil deeds of magnifying themselves to deceive the people and lead them away from the truth in a powerless rebellion. Amen. False prophets and deceivers are to come on the scene just after the time of the real birth. You remember, the real birth was 30 years before the ministry of Jesus. There was a birth of the one who was to be the man-child. And 30 years later, the anointing came, and the signs and wonders came, and so on. So, we need to stay vigilant and love the truth and hold fast to the word. No one will be deceived who holds fast to the word. No one will fall away who holds fast to the word. Everyone I have seen in this great falling away of the son of perdition, it came upon them because they totally ignored the word. They would not obey the word. Back in 2011, this faction began in earnest, and it's still going today, but not for long. Well, Father, we ask, Lord, that you keep all our brethren, Lord, who love you, keep your commandments, bear the fruit of Jesus Christ, which means coming into his image, doing his works, having his fruit. We ask, Lord, that you keep these because they love you. They will keep your commandments. We ask that you draw them, that you show them through the deceptions of this world, the false man-childs, the false brides. And, Lord, that you sanctify this bride and man-child, separate them from the false and the evil, as you are doing, as you've shown us how wonderfully you can are capable of doing this, of revealing those like Judas who was hidden in the midst, but the falling away revealed him. We thank you, Lord, for that in Jesus' name. We thank you, too, that you're going to continue the good work you started in us, and you will finish that. We'll walk by faith in you, Lord God, for ourselves and for others around us. We put our trust in you to see that your elect will fully manifest your fruit. Lord, we know you're not coming for anything that doesn't look like Jesus. No one hath ascended into heaven but he that descended out of heaven. But we are coming into the image of the real, true Jesus, Father. And that's because we only eat the good food, not the food of Babylon. We eat the good food of your word, Lord. And we don't make disciples of one another. We make disciples of Christ. The disciples are learning to follow the voice of Christ. And the rest have stopped their ears because they don't want to hear it. As it was in the days of Jesus when they did not want to hear it. So we ask you, Father, in Jesus' name, we know that nothing has changed and that there is massive rebellion and massive falling away out there, Lord, but that's just the way history tells the story, too. History is repeating, and there is a great falling away, but our God is able to save all those who draw near unto him through Christ and his word. Thank you, Father, for doing this. Thank you for your wonderful deliverance for your people. Thank you, Father, that you will show the wicked. You will show them up just as you showed us in Acts 5, 36 and 37. They always get showed up. They always get destroyed. And the people that follow them is scattered. So thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus, for all your good works towards us and your care for your people. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you for joining us today, saints. Father, thank you for blessing Michael Hare as he comes and shares with the brethren. Thank you for pouring out your spirit there and letting the brethren grow up in Christ. In Jesus' name, amen. Bless you. Good night.